Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, but, that's the name of the show. The other name is off topic.
But this is football. What you want? We've got a mind to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches, and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
Here we go. Championship week is here. The show that some people listen to, Mountain West Connection, MWC. Yeah, some people. Hey, the ladies nope. Like us, apparently. still a slight edge over the men, so thanks, whomever you are. Maybe it's just the bots, I don't know, but who cares? And so, yeah, let's begin after that awkward beginning. MWCConnection.com, that's our website. Mountain West Connection Facebook. I want to get to 3,000 likes at some point, but we'll see if that happens. We're about 1,000 plus, or not 1,000, that'd be terrible, 100 plus short of that. MWC Connection Twitter, and it's championship week, and yay?
Yeah, I mean, woo-hoo. It's coming to the end, but we got ourselves a very interesting matchup ahead of us. Again.
We do, as always. Again, yes, twice in 3 weeks. What is this, the AFC West and the
NFL? I guess
it
must be.
Well, I'm just saying, they always seem to play Chargers and Raiders or somebody play every other week.
The way that they're talking about the Mountain West out there these days, maybe it's more like the AFC South.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my Houston Texans spent too much on a quarterback there, Brock Osweiler.
They passed on Derek Moore twice.
But, and Khalil Mack.
Anyway, this is a college football podcast.
But, I'll just say this about that real quick. Jadeveon Clowney in college, great. NFL, holy crap. Oh, jeez. Whatever, I'm bitter. But hey, my favorite team's actually the Cowboys, so oh yeah. But let's get college football here. College football here. That's what we're talking about, like you said, Matt. So we have championship week, which is kind of a fainting woohoo because both teams lost last week. So we'll get to all that first, but we get news. We'll keep you hanging around for a preview down the road. But should we start with okay, we got three options. I'll let you pick, Matt. We can go through some random bull scenarios if you'd like.
I'm always down with that.
And I got a real random one for you, too, if you haven't seen. Ooh, interesting. We can talk coaching stuff because breaking news, as of recording, Mark Helfrich out at Oregon. And then there's also the Pat Hill to San Jose.
Yeah.
Or we could talk... why you disrespecting McNichols, folks?
You know, let's start with that, because I think that's the most pressing thing. That's the thing that'll probably be in people's minds, you know, a day or two from now, coming up against Championship Saturday. They're going to be like, why?
It's... Okay, let's start off. The Mountain West had their awards today. Let me actually fix my title real quick, because I put San Diego sweeps awards. San Diego State actually did. But... let's just go to the beginning. Coach of the Year, our favorite Laramie resident, Craig Bull. Perfectly fine with that. You noticed Logan Wilson get a Freshman of the Year.
Yeah, remember when
linebacker?
He was my midseason Freshman of the Year?
The one I forgot to put on the list, right? Or did no? I put him on the list. Fans. Yes, you're welcome. So he went, and then I honestly think this is unprecedented. San Diego State gets Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, and Special Teams Player of the Year for the second straight year. I'm pretty sure that's never happened before in any conference.
I have no idea off the top of my head, but that would not surprise me.
I don't either, but that's a pretty big deal. There was a mention, Offensive Player of the Year, Derek Carr, sorry, I was going to go David Carr for some reason. Yeah, Derek Carr, obviously Fresno, Bradley Van Pelt at CSU, and then Andy Dalton at TCU are the only other players to win back-to-back Offensive Player of the Year. So let's start there. Pretty good crowd, yes. Do you think Pumphrey should have been Player of the Year on offensive side?
I think the conversation got a lot more interesting in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think that, man, it's hard to argue against it just because of the fact that even despite the slowdown in the last couple of weeks, like, he finished with almost, you know, over 200 yards more than Brian Hill did on roughly the same amount of carries. You know, he ended up with over 1900 yards rushing, you know, 6.2 yards a carry, of the kind of figure that is, you know, that's a rare error even among a conference of running backs that is deeper than it's probably ever been in Mountain West history. So I think even despite the fact that the last couple weeks were disappointing, I'm not going to quibble too much with it personally.
Did you know this interesting thing I pulled up? Well, part of it was a lot of Boise fans are upset because second year Earl McNichols is a second team, but like part of the year, I'm fine with it. But one, I think it was Dave Southern from the Idaho Statesman. He tweeted out part of the email from the league.
Uh-huh.
In bold, this is not a career award. You must consider all 2016 regular season games only, or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but as I put up, because I put a couple things here. Would you, I know Brian Hill was the other first team running back, but would you put, where would you put McNichols between the two as a player of the year? Because all purpose yards, they actually tied in total yards. However, that 12 more touchdowns, that's pretty convincing, man.
I mean, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision because honestly,
I remember our preseason show, we had a mess trying to figure out who would we pick out of two.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think about it, really, it's like, you know, choose, you know, your two or three favorite ice creams, and it's like, well, all ice cream is good, right? So yeah, I mean, I've had like hours to think about this, and I still don't have a good reason why McNichols is second team, because I understand that argument that yes, he was, you know, with regards to total yards, he was ahead of Pumphrey, and with regards to touchdowns, he was well ahead of Pumphrey. I don't have a good reason for it. I think if I were doing an honest assessment of it, I probably would have swapped him out with Brian Hill. And that's no disrespect to Hill, who's had an incredible season. But when you consider what everything, you know, all the things that McNichols does in that offense, you know, he had a better yards per carry than Brian Hill did. He scored a couple more touchdowns on slightly fewer carries.
He averaged, just looking at total yards, like all purpose, yeah, he averaged a full yard more than Brian Hill did.
Yeah, and so, I mean, granted, you know, when you think about it too, if you look at the scoring offense, Wyoming actually led the conference in total points per game, whereas Boise was only fourth. So you could make the argument that McNichols was slightly more responsible for more of that total offense than Brian Hill was. And I think that that argument's even stronger when you compare him to Pumphrey, because Pumphrey, of course, only scored, like, what, 15 touchdowns on the year?
Total touchdowns, he had 15. Really quick, do you know who came in third at all-purpose yards?
I do not, off the top of my head.
James Butler.
He didn't catch a lot of screen passes and did a lot of work with those.
Yeah, he had 12 more yards than Brian Hill.
Yeah, so I mean,
just saying, if it's numbers you're looking at, I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's, if I'm looking
more, and real quick, more rushing yards than Brian Hill as well. Not just total yards, but more rushing yards also.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you focus specifically on the in-conference stuff. Like, even there, McNichols has an edge on both Pumphrey and Hill with regards to yards per play, with regards to, you know, maybe not rushing yards, but the rushing yards are a lot closer. Like, they're the three of them are separated by 60 yards. And yeah. McNichols still has the edge as far as being a receiver as well. So, honestly, like, I understand the argument that Boise State fans are trying to make. He probably got jobbed in a way this year where he, you know, maybe didn't last year. I mean, no disrespect. Like, he was really good last year, but, you know, so were Pumphrey and Brian Hill. I think this year, though, he definitely...
Well, Brian Hill was second team last.
Oh, he was.
Last year.
Oh, okay.
It was. I had it up. I'll look real quick.
But, I mean,
Pumphrey
especially,
and
I think McNichols probably got robbed.
I think he did. I get the argument, but to me, it's like it's almost like you said, pick your favorite ice cream. It's like they're all good. However, one quick note, I'll pull up the title game here. But Dave, back to Dave Southern, really quick of the Idaho Statesman. He put out some interesting stuff about strength of schedule matters a bit, just because San Diego State played two teams with a winning record, lost them both. Not to pile on, but just saying. And he mentioned Aztecs, and they played teams with winning records. Pumphrey had 129 yards combined. Boise State played six, and McNichols averaged 126 per game. Against teams with winning records. So it's like Washington State, BYU, Colorado State, Air Force, New Mexico, so on and so on. And they also mentioned six games against common opponents, 1,009 yards for McNichols, 740 for Pumphrey. So there's a case, if you look close enough, it's like, it is kind of, like I said, it doesn't. I think it's fine. Whoever gets it first team, I think he should have got. But player of the year, it's like I get their point. But then if you actually look at it, the case is pretty clear. It should be McNichols.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
So what else? I know you had a few tweets out there, a few things about the all conference team. Anything else that kind of stood out to you?
So I know that I can't remember if you were part of this crowd, but the whole thing between the quarterback position, Josh Allen getting second team, Brett Rippon getting first team.
Oh, really quick, before we get to that, one thing I want to mention. Player of the year, it was only the three running backs. Nobody else is an option.
Oh, well, there you go.
Just because some people were talking about, why not Josh Allen for player of the year? But it's just McNichols, Pumphrey, and Hill.
Fair enough.
But sorry, continue with. I just wanted to get that out there.
I know that some people out there were wondering why Brett Rippon was the first team quarterback rather than Josh Allen. And to those people, I say chill, probably chill on that a little bit. Just because.
You know what else I'd tell them? Fourth quarter, Nebraska.
Not even that. But if you, even if you look at the whole season, or even if you just split it up by like conference play, for instance. You know, if you compare the two quarterbacks, you know, Brett Rippon had a 16-1 touchdown to interception ratio, and Josh Allen, for as good as he was only 17-5. And you know, in the same amount of games, Brett Rippon threw for more yards. He averaged
more accurate.
He was more accurate by about 8 percentage points, and he averaged one more yard per attempt. And I think when you consider all of those things together. Like, even despite the head-to-head matchup, you know, and that's even in spite of the fact that he was really rough around the edges in a couple of those games, like, especially last week's game against Air Force, where he was, like, what? He completed only a third of his passes, but he still had over 300 yards.
Oh, yeah, what, 9 of 20 or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I mean, Josh Allen had a very good year, but let's not go overboard with that. Like, Brett Rippon was still far and away the best quarterback in the conference.
Here's the reason why people are upset about it. Josh Allen can also move on the ground. 487 rushing yards and 7 TDs on the ground. And so I think people are looking at that, where Rippon's not, it's just, he just doesn't run. He's not, including sack yardage, he's minus 16 on the year. And I think you mentioned last week, what, he had like 70 or something after removing those. Yeah. So I think that's where people are saying, hey, look at him. He had another 7 touchdowns on the ground. He ran the ball about 10 times a game. And so I think that's where argument can be made to make it closer or even give him the edge.
See, the question I have is, I wonder how much consideration Nick Stevens got for that second team.
I was thinking about that too, because he's been pretty good in league play.
I mean, he missed the first two conference games against Wyoming and Utah State, but when you look at him basically since the Boise game, he's more or less been lights out.
Did he play every conference game?
No, like I said, he missed the first two.
Okay, here's what he did just in league play itself. So he missed, what two games did he miss?
He missed, like I said.
No, just one. He missed Wyoming, just a Wyoming game, that's it. Oh, yeah, he got injured or something, right? Didn't he come out or relief he came in or something?
I believe so, yeah.
So we'll go all conference games because that includes everything.
Yeah.
He had a touchdown to 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had the highest QB rating in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
He had the highest, or basically tied with Brett Rypien for yards per attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And then yards per game at, 207. So I agree. I was kind of thinking about that. Like, oh, what about Nick Stevens? How did he do? But I guess when you don't play four or five games, that's kind of against you, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fair. I just wondered, you know, with the way that he finished in kind of considering the argument that you were making in our recap show the other day, how much consideration he got. Because, he, you know, for as good as Brett Rypien has been, like, Nick Stevens has been by far the best quarterback in the conference for like a month and a half now.
The only difference is the yards per game because Stevens had five less attempts. And there's one game, what was it, New Mexico? He went 9 of 10?
Something like that, yeah.
But still had like four touchdowns or something.
Yeah.
Completed 70% of his passes. I have a hard time, like, we'll get to this in our offseason stuff, but Mike Bobo is going to have some questions to answer about quarterback now.
I think he'll probably just stick with Stevens. I think maybe he's learned.
Really?
I think maybe he learned his lesson about overreacting from one bad game.
I'd hope so. It's all right. So, what are the best stories on here? Travis Seatfeld made the second team all conference list.
Can't argue with that.
Utah State defensive lineman, only Utah State player to make the list. And the reason it's so cool, he didn't play last year because he had that car accident in the summer before heading into 2015 without the whole year. Pretty severe accident, sits out a year, gets healthy, gets ready, and has a pretty good year. Likely gonna have a. It would have been better if he played last year, but he's going to have a shot in the NFL, I believe.
I don't see why not.
And so that was pretty cool. He did last year before he got for the accident. Like, what was he? I have it here. Was he a, is he a junior? Is he still a senior? Let me see here. Where'd it go? I had it somewhere.
I believe he's a
senior. Yeah, senior. That's right. Senior. That's right. Sorry. I was going through. I'm like, scrolling too fast. I don't know. Weston Stillhammer's fine. He's okay, but he. They disappeared for a while, so I wasn't a big fan of that one. But
well, you know, he did end up with six interceptions on the year.
He did. So there was just that stretch where they're just awful, and like, he turned it around quite well. Anything else? I think we're good, right? You said something about Calvin Munson on this earlier today, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it were me, Calvin Munson's had a good year. That's not to take anything away from him. But I probably would have swapped him out for Kevin Davis. Because I feel like in the middle of that Colorado State defense that Davis has been slightly better, and he's had a little more of an impact, especially in Colorado State's second half turnaround. So to me, like, if you look at his numbers on the year and in conference, to me they're slightly better. So that would basically be the only change that I would make. Like, I basically have no problem with anything else.
All right, plus it's all the – people only care about quarterback and running back, really. That's so, all right, let's get just some coaching news here. As we said, Mark Helfrich is out of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude who's giving me crap can suck it because we all know Brian Harsin's going to be part of this list potentially. So he's out as of a Monday evening – or Tuesday evening, excuse me. Again, not a surprise. It's expected to happen. So a couple of names with that. You want to know the weirdest name I've seen on this list, mostly from Bruce Feldman? It's not Greg Schiano.
Oh, I know.
Jim McElwain is listed as a somehow connected to an Oregon job.
I did see that, but I saw that from Spencer Hall over in Every Day Should Be Saturday, because he
was also Bruce Feldman.
He said something to the effect of that if Oregon poaches McElwain, he's totally ready for Dana Holgorsen in Florida.
Maybe that's just that. Hey, I would like that as well.
That would be pretty entertaining.
It's just odd because McElwain had, a couple years out west, and that's it. He's been an SEC guy forever.
Yeah.
With Alabama. Or wasn't he at Fresno as well, I believe? OC or something?
He was an OC for 1 year, I believe.
1 year. Yeah, okay. And he's an Alabama national title. So he has a little bit more out west than that, but man, Fresno would like to have him, wouldn't they? Sorry. I apologize to bring that up again.
That's all right.
But in Oregon, Brian Harsin is going to be in the mix because I was listening to the Solid Verbal and their guy Dan Rubenstein, he's an Oregon alum and more, follows him closely. And he's like, there's not many good coaches out west because, like it or not, some people don't care about this, but you got to have that connection to high schools and recruiting and have some local guys on your staff. So that's why when you see PJ Fleck, mm-hmm. he's not leaving the Midwest most likely.
You don't think so?
It would take a different, a decent job or an interesting job to do that because Purdue, I don't think you should take Purdue, but I'm not saying far. I'm talking about like going to, say, UCLA opens up because Jim Moore is gone. I think that's like a, not just a big jump, but you got to have connections in the area, and he's always been in that area. I get Urban Meyer's gone from Bowling Green to Utah to Florida, Ohio State, and just crush it. But it takes a special person to be able to go from out of your comfort zone and knowing people to go somewhere else. It's not impossible, but it is something to seriously look at.
I mean, I don't know that I'd necessarily buy into that whole regional success thing, just because if you look at the guys, especially at the top of the college football world, like, you know, Nick Saban's won everywhere he's been, for instance. And I know that he's kind of like the gold standard, but, you know, he won at Michigan State. He won
at Toledo.
Yeah, he won at Toledo. And now he's, you know, probably going to win another national championship at Alabama. I'm trying to think of someone else off the top of my head. Like
Urban Meyer, like yeah. I said.
So
Jim Harbaugh, since sort of.
I feel like that's the kind of thinking that, you know, for instance, locks you into a guy like Jeff Tedford.
Don't put me in that crowd. Come on, man.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, guys who know how to recruit and guys who, like, know how to coach and win games will be able to do it anywhere in the country. So, you know, I think that's why you see things like, you know, McElwain going from east to west, and that's why you'll probably see, you know, guys like Harsin.
Holgerson.
I mean, Brian Harsin, you know, went to the Sun Belt and won a title at Arkansas State before coming back to Boise. You know, if he ends up moving on to Eugene at some point, there's probably a reason for that. It's because he's shown the ability to succeed at two different stops.
I guess Oregon's different, too, because you're not recruiting Oregon.
Yeah.
You're going to California, you're going to Texas, you're going to whoever is in Seattle, because they got some pretty good high school. Okay, you convinced me somewhat. I just think it's something to consider, because I think it is an added bonus if you're in that region. But even Harsin, he's recruiting Texas, you know what I mean? He's not recruiting Idaho, really. If there's good guys there, he tries to get them, obviously, because you want to keep guys in state who are good. But he's going to Southern California. He's going to Texas. That's where he gets all these players from. So,
is Boise State really that different from Oregon? I mean, it's not like, you know, the Pacific Northwest is crawling with blue chip prospects. Like, the Ducks have to go to California. They have to go to Texas. But they're a national brand that can go anywhere to get guys that they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the recruiting area is probably similar. The talent's just different who you can get or attract.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like, I forgot, I lost my train of thought. So I'm just going to let the thought
go. The regional thing. I get your point. I think it's an added bonus, because one real quick thought, like when Virginia, they're going to struggle for a while, I think. Mm-hmm. They brought in Bronco Mendenhall from BYU. He brought in everybody from BYU. Everybody. Mm-hmm. However, the AD at UVA said you have to keep one guy, and they kept the wide receivers coach. And in that case, I think that's an extreme example where you bring in everybody who's not from your, you know what I mean, like the entire staff. He's never coached. Like, even going there is weird. He played at Oregon State. He coached at New Mexico and then BYU. That's a huge, I thought that was odd just because he brings everybody as well. And so those type of things, like if you can get your staff with local guys or keep a couple guys on staff or in the area, I think it's a beneficial to do that. But again, like if you're going to Oregon, it's not like you're going to UT or something like that, where there's all the talent around you. You got to know everybody to get them to your school, and the competition is high because you got TCU, Baylor, Oklahoma, and stuff. But let's move on. Did you see Dan Hawkins, new head coach, not OC
at UC Davis?
UC Davis, that was interesting. All right, so let's get to the next coaching. So let's talk about really quick. So, Pete Thamel, the SI, has your favorite mustache going to San Jose State, or at least in the running, or hearing a name going to the Spartans in Pat Hill. Current radio, was he the analyst there for ESPN 940?
He is the color commentator for the football.
Color guy.
I believe the quote from the tweet is that someone reached out, quote unquote, to him. I mean, as amazing as it would be, I don't think it's likely, because, you know, in the instances in which I've seen him kind of around campus or out, well, not around campus, but around the stadium and stuff like that, he seems very comfortable with where he's at right now. And for the same reason, like, you know, thinking about the other guys who have been hired recently, like, for example, Butch Davis, who just got the job at Florida International. I would be kind of lukewarm about the idea of Pat Hill actually going to San Jose State, just because, you know, for the same reason I wasn't fond of Fresno State bringing in Tedford, because he hasn't coached in, you know, 4 years. You know, if you think about it, Pat Hill hasn't been a head coach since 2011. You know, he was the line coach for the Atlanta Falcons for a year or two, but he's basically been out of the game for like 2 or 3 years now. And to be able to ask him to come into a situation kind of shorthanded, to be able to pick up the slack with recruiting in a tighter window than you would be accustomed to, and then to have to, you know, create a new staff and all that kind of thing, I don't know that that's necessarily the kind of hire that San Jose State needs. You know, I've said all along that Fresno probably needed to hire like a young up-and-coming offensive coordinator. And when you consider that San Jose State's in the same kind of situation where, you know, they're going to be having to replace some key pieces, and they're probably going to need to regroup, rebuild a little bit. You know, I've seen a lot of the names that were bandied about for Fresno being thrown around for the Spartans as well. You know, guys like, you know, Michigan OC Tim Drevno, and, you know, like Pete Kwiatkowski, like we talked about the other day. To me, I think that if they can find the money for one of those guys, that is probably the better move for them. But, you know, I will admit that if that move does happen, there's a lot of people around here, they're going to lose their minds, and I'm just going to think it's amazing.
And then, like you mentioned before, there's, I don't know how serious, but Tim Drudder in Nevada.
Oh, man, that would be so great. I mean, I don't think that'll happen either.
Me neither.
That would be so good.
The Western Division trifecta.
Yes.
And they got Nick Rolovich here as well, former Nevada OC. All right, anything else we need to mention about coaching? One real quick thing, Oregon, they're not hiring within, as they just mentioned just moments ago from the press conference. Not that that's a surprise, but I did get my first idiot reply on Twitter because I put a hashtag Harsin Oregon 2016.
Mm-hmm.
should we do some random bowl stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I don't know entirely what's going on with the bowl stuff because – there's just some weird things going on. Nothing confirmed, I should say. Because the Cactus Bowl apparently is getting a lot of pub.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Pac-12 does not have enough teams at the moment to fill their spots. And so there's been talk in the Las Vegas Bowl. They're still looking at either Boise, Wyoming, or San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be at the title game. And so there's I guess where it comes out to be, I've seen, we'll start with the Vegas Bowl, then I'll move on to the Cactus Bowl. North Texas, anyone?
They're a team on the rise, but they aren't exactly a name opponent. Like, if you look at some of the projections, like, I'm just going to go off of, like, Jason Kirk's projections over here at SB Nation. And, like, man, this slate is, like, super bleak.
Also, why do people say Hawaii's bowl eligible? They're not bowl eligible.
Yeah, they would need to benefit from
exemption,
PR exemption stuff, right? But like,
yeah, you got it.
But let's run through this one set of projections.
Oh, Do we have to?
Okay, and I mean, I would say, would you watch this game? But you know, we're both degenerates here. Of course, we're gonna watch these games. But I'm just gonna run through them real quick. New Mexico Bowl, mm-hmm. New Mexico, and UTSA.
That has some intrigue to it.
I mean, it's a, you know, UTSA would be a first-time bowl team, so that's kind of nice, right? But would anybody actually show up to that game?
It's a home game. Well, sorry, I was going to say a home game, but then look at the Boise game. Nobody showed up for that.
And then the Las Vegas Bowl, like you said, San Diego State versus North Texas.
Let me ask you this. What if I could replace North Texas with a team from the Southeastern Conference? Would that pique your interest?
That would pique my interest. Which Southeastern Conference team do you have in mind?
But you're strangled by playing Mississippi State.
Hey, you know what? They've been playing a lot better recently. I don't know that.
Five and seven Mississippi State.
Fans travel and make things interesting in the desert.
Hey, it is Stark Vegas. Now they can go to the Brule Las Vegas. Yeah.
Okay, and so then the Poinsettia Bowl would be Wyoming and BYU.
I would definitely watch that. That's a good matchup.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl would be Boise State and Central Michigan.
That would be a good one.
Do you think Boise State fans would be thrilled to be in like the sixth bowl game in the conference, though?
Yeah, because they were. Yes, because there's delusion. Some stress. Some who want Brian Harsin fired.
Oh man. Anyway.
So I'm just saying, but hey, get your gift machine ready for that potato dancer. So
then, of course, the Hawaii Bowl, they have it lined up as Hawaii versus Southern Miss.
Okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah, it's not bad, not bad.
Christmas Eve, cool, keep it on the background.
Cactus Bowl, Colorado State versus Baylor.
Yes! Sign me up! And
as long as the Rams win like 50-0.
Exactly. And we don't need to get, Ed, really quick, we don't need to discuss this at all, but did you notice who Liberty hired?
Oh my god, let's not talk about that.
And their comment about it from the that dude who's crazy there.
Let's not talk about it.
That's all I'm saying. So if you want to look it up, because Jerry Falwell's crazy.
And then the Arizona Bowl would be Air Force versus Idaho. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how psyched would you be if that were, like, the actual schedule for bowl games for the Mountain West?
There's two games I'm intrigued by, maybe three.
I mean, it's got to be...
But
it's like a four, right?
Here's what I'd say. The games that are pretty good, like CSU-Baylor or BYU-Wyoming, and even Boise-CMU, that has potential to be a pretty good game because they got a good quarterback there in Central Michigan. I would just say the bottom games were just dreadful. You know what I mean? Like playing a 5-7 team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. Like the games at the top, like they're like, I think those are good. Those are pretty good games. But the ones at the bottom, like playing Idaho or UTSA, it's like
not terribly exciting. But you know, the bright side is that none of them are, you know, competing for television time with the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah, Old Dominion, and who was the other team? Eastern Michigan.
And, you know, that's the most random and exciting bowl game of the entire season the last few years. So,
did you know, everybody knows Eastern Michigan, or you should know, EMU hasn't got bowling in like 30 years. But did you know it's the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl? There's not a Popeyes in the Bahamas?
I did know that.
Ah, there you go. I just remember reading something about the truck and chicken kitchens or something to make the delicious Popeyes chicken.
But like seriously though, ooh. Craig Thompson's got to do better the next time around.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing too. Like somebody mentioned, I forget it was on Twitter or something like, or the, no, it was. I think I mentioned it last time the Bronco Nation news thing. Like, yeah, there's disrespect. No, it's a bowl thing. It's a conference thing. It's not a Boise State thing being disrespected. You can't just pick your bowl.
Well, I mean, I've also seen this scenario where, you know, the Mountain West sends seven teams to bowls, but four of them are basically glorified home games. And it's like, if you're...
Yeah, four, yeah, that's right. Four are at home. That's
then,
right,
like,
yeah.
What are we even doing at that point? Why do we even have a bowl season?
And there are, like, there's people saying football's great. Like, you joked, like, oh, we'll watch no matter what. We probably will, but there's games, like, I may not watch the full game if it's Boise State, North Texas. I may watch the first half and just read what happened after. I don't care. And that game's on ABC. I'm pretty sure ESPN likes that matchup. Freaking North Texas or a losing team on the, like one of the first bowl games of the year. There are too many bowl games. I don't care if people, oh, it's a reward you get to go. Yeah, but at some point, I want to see good football. If I don't see crappy football, I'll go watch local high school football or something. You know what I mean? I don't want to watch bad football.
See, the ideal situation is you get like maybe you swap out one of these games for one more versus, let's say, someone from the American. One more game against a Power 5 team. I think that's all we need to make it worthwhile.
And I'd like the champ to play somebody decent. I get the Big Ten, Pac-12, they want to play each other. The SEC, Big 12, they don't want to play the American or the Mountain West or Sun Belt. But, like, the champion, even in a good year, like, let's just say the Pac-12, part of the reason they're probably getting a team in the playoffs, so that's why there's not going to be a 16. But if you're the champ, you could be 11-1 and play, like, a 6-6 team as your best bowl game.
Yeah.
They need to somehow, like, what would be best would be somehow the Pac-12 was pretty good. They get a playoff team or two team or no, excuse me, no, they're no playoff team. They get their number one team in the Rose Bowl. So even to say they're champion, even as 11-1, that way you get the best opponent possible because you're not moving the slot up. But just do a little, like, yes, play the American. Play. I liked it. Like, people complained here when Utah and BYU were in the Mountain West or when they played the Liberty Bowl and played the, I think it was CUSA champion. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
Oh, yeah.
Play a conference champion. Play American versus Mountain West champ should find a bowl game to play every year.
They should.
I know they want for fan and travel, but I know Vegas is great, but get a bowl middle of the country, partway. Get the Heart of Dallas Bowl or something. Make a deal with that. Get the Armed Forces Bowl. Get even the Independence Bowl. I know it's kind of farther east, but those champions, there's no reason those champions shouldn't play each other. Or runner-up if one of them gets in. Or even the MAC. Like, I think I sent you the thing about the Sports Business Journal about CUSA and Sun Belt basically going geography-wise for their conference. Like, just blow it up and 12 West, 12 East. You're the new CUSA. You're the new Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. Put something in the middle. Play your best team. That would people would like that. Yeah, you're not playing. Who would you like? Really, who would you rather play? Look at who is it? Western Kentucky or even Toledo? They're sitting at what's Western Kentucky? Aren't they like 9 wins or something?
They're at 9-3.
Nine and three. I would be fine playing Western Kentucky. You know what I mean?
Think about this.
But fans want to play the name team, but I don't want to play 6-6 UCLA.
In this same set of projections, Temple is slated to play against South Alabama in the St. Peter's and South Florida is scheduled to play Georgia in the Birmingham Bowl, which is the SEC's ninth selection.
Yeah, Georgia just lost to a Georgia
Tech.
Wouldn't
you rather see South Florida play San Diego State? Because I would.
Quinton Flowers against Calvin Munson? Yes,
that
please.
So fun. We gotta figure out a way to make this happen.
Do we need to do a Kickstarter bowl game?
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Someday. There's let me get to the Cactus Bowl thing really quick. Okay. Apparently they're really high in Boise State. And what I read, I don't know if these provisions are true or not because it's hard to find the order since the bowl scenarios are kind of by order and not record anymore. There's something like, I don't know where this came from, but if the Pac-12 can't fill their slot in the Vegas Bowl, then the Cactus Bowl becomes the number two selection?
I have no idea.
I saw that. I don't know how that works at all.
It's kind of one of those side agreements. Like, you know, they rotate out, you know, the Armed Forces Bowl has like a sometimes agreement with Mountain West as well.
And the Arizona Bowl with Sun Belt and CUSA, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Here's what it is right here. The Cactus Bowl, let me read it from the beginning. The Cactus Bowl has agreements with Pac-12 and Big 12, but since the Pac-12 won't have enough bowl-eligible teams to fill the spot, Cactus Bowl has a backup with Mountain West to fill the spot if needed. And the Cactus Bowl gets to jump up and select a team after the Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, okay.
That's a better payout, I'm assuming, right?
I would assume so if they're giving them that kind of priority.
Okay, that's weird, but here's what I think will happen. Wyoming's going to the Vegas Bowl no matter what, I believe. Okay. Aztec's going to play BYU because they don't want to rematch with Boise State, and Boise will go to the Cactus Bowl. Boise State-Baylor, that'd be a pretty good matchup. Boise State, who else would be? Where is Texas Tech Bowl eligible?
Texas Tech, I do not believe they are.
Let's go to the Big 12. We're going to move on to the actual title game here. I know that's what people wanted. But yeah, I think I'll break this up to make two podcasts out of it. I'll put a little side for game only. Texas Tech is not, so you'd have maybe TCU. They'd both be 6-6 if they win this weekend, or 7-5 potentially. So that would be fine. TCU Baylor, that'd be okay. That'd be reasonable. Would you be satisfied if you're a Boise State fan to play either of those teams?
I think I would be, yeah.
All right, so ready for game talk?
Let's do it.
Let's take a, so I get a nice break here. Let's take a quick timeout. I need to crack open my Mountain Dew here and we'll finish up. All right, you ready for the game?
Let's do it.
The game.
The game.
Not, well, not Ohio State, Michigan, which shouldn't be called the game. That's Harvard Yale, I believe, correct?
I think Harvard Yale is the big game, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, we'll talk about the Mountain West Championship game. How
Let's
about that?
Let's do that.
So, this game, rematch, San Diego State, on the road, Wyoming, in Laramie. I'm surprised it's a 7-point touchdown.
As am I.
For the Cowboys. And I appreciate people telling me why it's a 7-point spread, that they want action on both sides. But I disagree. The only action I would take would be Wyoming in the points, if it stays at 7. I don't see why you would I don't see Aztec. Well, we'll get to our predictions later, but if you want action on both sides, I'd say 7 is too high.
That's awfully tempting, but we'll get to that.
We will. And so people are hoping for some sort of weather matchup, weather game. As of right now, AccuWeather has 30 degrees, partly cloudy.
Does
for a fight?
Does cold as heck count as weather?
You think 30 degrees is cold as heck? I guess for Aztec
I live in California, man. Of course it is.
You should, yeah.
It was like 50 degrees this morning, and I went out in a sweater and stuff like that.
Last night, I couldn't get my Jetta out of my driveway, so I had to park down the hill because the snowing and icing so much.
Yeah.
Really quick, the weather, it is 30 degrees. I think that's kickoff weather. It's a 5:45 local kick. ESPN, watch ESPN, all the fun stuff. You could stream this game if you'd like to away from your home. Thank you. Thank you, not CBS Sports Network. And the competition is not a ton around this game. There is also, I believe, the Big Ten and ACC game in the same neighborhood as this. Is that correct, I believe?
Yeah, but nobody cares about
Big Ten. And I'm just saying, it's like, excuse me, there might be three Big Ten teams in the playoff.
I was thinking Big 12. Oh. Just kidding. Well, no, whatever. Nobody cares about the Big Ten here.
I agree as well. I just eyeball, so I was just looking around. So those games both started about 15 minutes later. So
yeah.
We'll see. But this game, so weather really quick that night, 30 degrees, partly cloudy. Trying to see what I'm going to double check real quick the because I know it drops really cold when it gets dark outside. But we'll get to that in a minute. So this game, we all remember last time, San Diego State goes for two after a 99-yard drive, gets stuffed by what I called a terrible play call, and Wyoming rushes the field and wins the game. What's going to change this week? Who would have the game plan that needs to be better this game? I know Wyoming lost, Aztecs lost, but what do you think a difference in game plan would be for, say, San Diego State?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say just because of the fact that first of all, it was a 1-point game. And it really did come down to that last, decisive stop on the 2-point conversion. So it's hard to really say what needs to change because, if you go back and look at the box score, San Diego State did pretty much everything they needed to do to be in a position to win that game. Obviously the Cowboys kept Donnell Pumphrey in check. He only had 76 yards the first time around. But at the same time, Rashad Penny, he only had 5 carries, but he made him count where he averaged almost 16 yards a play. So they had a lot of success running the ball, and Christian Chapman had a good, if not great game throwing the football. And as you said, he was kind of the driving force behind that last ditch 99-yard drive. To me, the big difference is the guys that Wyoming doesn't have this time around. Like, we talked about Chase Appleby last week, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're also going to be without DJ May as well.
He's out for the year.
Yeah, so, you kind of have to wonder if those injuries are going to be a bit of a factor the same way that they were last week when, the Cowboys front seven got lit up by New Mexico. Because
also, look what the Rams did.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if San Diego State can find a way to get back on track, and I definitely wouldn't count them out on doing that, that's the kind of thing where, if Pumphrey can, get some momentum early, get, a few touches, get maybe 5 yards carry on the first drive, and they drive down for a touchdown, that's the kind of thing that I feel like it could be a long afternoon for Wyoming if they're able to do that.
That's the same area as well. I think it too, because like I mentioned the stats before, Pumphrey didn't play very well against winning teams with winning records. Mm-hmm. And Wyoming now losing, I think, I want to say it's like four or five defensive linemen that are out that started earlier in the year. Somebody mentioned to me on Twitter, but at least three and probably two of their best ones. And then DJ, like I said, DJ May, he's been pretty good switching a couple years ago from running back to linebacker. Because Aztecs, you can't plan on two special teams touchdowns in this game.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. And as for Wyoming, you can't count on, like they've done a lot this year, defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
Those are just luck plays, essentially, for the most part. They're hard to, you can't, non-predictable plays, non-regular plays, I'd say. But one thing I want to see is like the line, because Wyoming's line just pushed around San Diego State. That's how Brian Hill got all of those yards.
Yeah.
They just pushed, and Hill was getting like probably over 2 yards before he even touched it sometimes, 2 to 3 yards, getting to the second level before somebody touched him, like Calvin Munson, or even like Casey coming up, or Malik Pope, or somebody scooting in to help with that run game. And then, like I said, Wyoming can pass better in this game, and they have Tanner Gentry, they have a couple guys out there who can catch the ball. And look at San Diego State. Christian Chapman showed me a bit that he can throw a bit better. Like he made some good throws versus the Rams game, and he had that huge drive, 99-yarder, a couple weeks ago. But I still believe it's going to come down to Wyoming forcing San Diego State to throw the ball. Because I still, even though Chapman's done better, I would still rather have them beat me through the air than Pumphrey and Penny running the ball.
Do you realize that Josh Allen and Christian Chapman almost have almost essentially the same quarterback rating?
No, impossible.
They are within 1 point of each other in conference play.
Conference play. That's where you're going at.
Well, I mean, and I think it matters just because of the fact that...
It does matter. I'm just surprised by it.
And I don't...
You want to know what's even more shocking? Whoa, hold on.
Okay.
Chapman actually has a better QB rating overall than Josh Allen.
And he has a better quarterback rating on the road than Josh Allen.
Why are we talking crap about Christian Chapman then?
I'm just saying, like, he's been better than I anticipated him being, and when you consider kind of what he's up against in this kind of situation, he played pretty well last time, and I think that that's a reflection of the way that he's played pretty well on the road all year long. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Michael Holder has really come up big, especially in conference play, as kind of their number one receiver. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, Tanner Gentry being a big play receiver, but I'm trying to look up what he's done in conference play. Like, he only has 12 catches in conference play, but he's averaging 18 and a half yards per catch.
For Judge?
No, Michael Holder.
Oh, sorry, Michael Holder, sorry, not the other guy. Sorry, I was thinking Eric Judge, sorry.
And, you know, he in the last matchup, he was a guy that didn't actually catch any passes at all. So I'm wondering if, you know, Chapman will make more of a concerted effort to, you know, take some shots deep off of play action or something like that. Because, you know, Wyoming's going to be ready for the running game. And, mm-hmm. you know, if Chapman can take advantage, take some shots deep, you know, I think that Holder is going to be the guy to make them pay one way or the other. So that is one guy that I would definitely keep my eye on.
So let me ask you this about this championship game we have. What would you, we know we've seen this team a couple weeks ago. What would you say is like the biggest edge for both teams?
Okay. Well, I think it's not so much the edge as, you know, two things that I see that San Diego State is going to have to figure out one way or the other. The first one, I think, is that they're going to have to figure out their penalty situation because, you know, at the beginning of the year, it really hindered them and it almost cost them, like, for example, in their game against California where they had 14 penalties. But if you look at what they've done in the last 3 weeks, you know, they've slowly gotten a little more penalized than they were in the middle of the year when they were basically rolling everybody in the West Division. You know, since their game against Nevada, they've had 6, 7, and 6 penalties for, you know, roughly 50 yards apiece. And especially in that Wyoming game the first time around, you know, Wyoming was only penalized twice for 20 yards. So I think that they need to clean up a little bit so that they're not costing themselves opportunities to, for example, extend a drive, because, you know, in that first game, you know, Wyoming also held a decisive advantage on third downs as well. The other thing that I would watch out for is the fact that, you know, their third downs has really struggled in the last few weeks as well. And I don't know if those two how much those two things are related, but, you know, they were giving up roughly like what, one of every three third down conversions in conference play going into that same Nevada game. But again, in those last 3 weeks, they are well over 50% on each of those. Like, Nevada was 10 for 16 on third down. Wyoming was 9 for 17. In Colorado State last week was 8 of 12. So I think that they need to find a way to fix that, because you know that Wyoming's going to be coming with the running game with Brian Hill. And if they are the same kind of sloppy as they have been in the last few weeks, then I think that that is the kind of thing that can cost them in the long run.
So penalties for your side. I would say Wyoming can have special teams issues, because I'll just go directly to the game prior. I think that's a simple answer. They do have the player of the year in Rashard Penny in special teams. You can't allow big returns. You can't. It wasn't even him. They had two separate guys. You have to stop that and limit field position. And I think it's pretty simple. I'm not saying that's the biggest edge, but I would say it's a key contributor. Because Aztecs, the reason they beat certain teams, like when they beat Boise the first time of the Blue a couple years ago, special teams play. They hang with Wyoming, two special teams touchdowns. They have a good kicker now who can make those kicks. And so Wyoming can't afford to allow easy scores. Not that those are easy, but quick scores. Because last time they dominated like every part of the game, partly because like yards, time of possession, because of those quick scores. But I think it goes back to the line, offensive line, and Brian Hill. I think that's where they have the biggest edge, because like I said before, they push and push and push and got lots of yards. Do that again, and if the offensive line gives Brian Hill room to run and he's doing well, and we know how good Josh Allen is, he's going to be that much better, that much more time finding a receiver downfield. And so that's why I think the biggest edge Wyoming has is that offensive line, where they just did what they wanted against Aztecs a couple weeks ago.
I mean, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if this game ended up a lot the same as the last one, where both teams are able to, you know, put together methodical drives against defenses that have been, you know, softened up in the last few weeks and really take advantage of their strengths, which on both sides I think comes down to the running game. And you know, I think obviously Brian Hill won that matchup with him and Danelle Pumphrey the first time around. But I think, again, whoever gets the better of, you know, Rashard Penny, Danelle Pumphrey, and Juwan Washington versus Brian Hill, and let's go ahead and throw Josh Allen in there, because, mm-hmm. you know, even last time he had 56 yards on the ground as well, not accounting for sacks and everything. So I think that whoever is able to make more plays on the ground, whoever is able to control the clock, whoever is able to extend drives, is probably going to be the team that wins.
That's what these teams do. They just run the ball and just have lengthy drives. You just can't give up any... I don't know. These teams could have big plays, but I think there's going to be fewer points this time than last time. Like, overall.
Mm-hmm.
Because the over-under... Shoot, I have my computer restarted, but who's the over-under? Or what is it? Do you have that in front of you?
I do not.
Let me pull it up real quick. But 67 points between these two teams is a lot of points when they played last time. I just think they're going to... It's going to be colder, which can make a difference, obviously. But it's going to be a bit crisper. 30 degrees, that is freezing. It's very cold, but... It depends how the guys from San Diego can kind of adjust to that a little bit, because it's a little bit different. I think these teams might be, not that they'll change your game plan, but be a bit more conservative in passing.
See,
it's just a hunch. It's just a hunch. I'm thinking that might be the case, because one big play could open this thing up.
See, I don't think that that's necessarily true, just because the same thing that I said last week, I think, still holds true. Is that good quarterbacks have found ways to beat this Aztecs defense. And, you know, Nick Stevens last week didn't do anything to dispel that notion. And, of course, Josh Allen, you know, wasn't necessarily efficient. You know, he was only right around 50% last time. But, you know, he had almost 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And I think that if he can find those big plays down the field the same way, you know, that's another thing. I think that's in Wyoming's favor.
Really quick, the over-under 62.5.
So it's
a slight... I get your point, too. Maybe I'm just thinking title game, they don't want to have it. Because like, if you pass the ball, only three things can happen. You catch it, incomplete, or interception. Two things are bad that can happen out of three. And I think, well, I don't think they'll change your game plan completely, but maybe... It's a feeling like when you play in championship games, especially a rematch, is a team going to... I don't think a team's going to go out and change something completely different with them being so familiar. Would you... I would be surprised if Asics go like four wide out on like their opening drive and throw the ball a ton. I know it's different, maybe mix things up, but they're not going to do that. It's going to be... These teams aren't going to change just because they played 2 weeks ago. And also, there's not like a huge... Nothing huge... Conference title's huge to put on the line, I should say, but... There's not a big money bowl game or going to the Cotton Bowl to say if we win, we're in, and they change their plan. But I just think maybe I'm just thinking seeing title games where teams want to just kind of get a feel for the game early on.
I mean, that's a possibility. It's like it's hard to say what's going to happen. I mean, I would be very surprised if they came out and did the exact same thing. But, you know, these teams' strengths really haven't changed all that much. I think what's changed is Wyoming's injury situation, especially on defense, and, you know, some of these things that you can't necessarily count on, like that kind of efficiency that they had on third downs and stuff like that. So I think some of those things that are a little bit outside of any one person's control have changed in the last couple weeks.
It's true. Let's say this as well. If there's going to be a big change at all, I think Wyoming's more likely to have a mix it up than San Diego State.
That's probably true.
All right, so let's get to prediction time. This has been long enough. So like I said, 7 point, actually 6.5, according to whoever does ESPN's lines really quick. And the computers, let's get the computers pick really quick while we get going. You got Pick Center, you got Number Fire. They both predict San Diego State to win teamrankings.com 33-26, 31-21 for Number Fire, both Aztecs get into victory. That's kind of a lot, the 10-point one there. And then also just a really quick San Diego or Wyoming as the home team, we know is this is inaccurate. Aren't they undefeated at home?
I believe they are.
Because they have them as one loss. Oh, this is annoying. This can't be right here. Hold on. I know. No, because they
are undefeated.
Because they lost. Yeah, this is incorrect. So, thanks a lot, ESPN stats and info. What do you? Jeez, it's not against the spread. Oh, I apologize. Okay, this is just record, not against the spread. But I can't. This is unreliable. I'm not going to go with this anymore. That's stupid. But okay, for the game itself, I am going to say because rematches are hard to win, and so. But also, here's the thing also with rematches. The way San Diego State won, or Aztecs won, or let me rephrase that, the way San Diego State stayed within the game was not traditional football for the most part with the two special team scores. Mm-hmm. So, I'm still going to Wyoming. Here's the thing. Wyoming only lost, yes, they lost two players from the last time they played. It was DJ May and now Chase Appleby. And we saw it. The Rams did running the ball very well, but Aztecs against good teams have not done very well. Even last time, yes, they had Apple. Did they have both Appleby and DJ May last time? Right, they're both
had
healthy.
May, but they lost Appleby during that game.
During the game, okay. Was that in the second half?
I don't remember exactly when it was.
Because I don't think the differential between first half, second half numbers mattered. I just think Wyoming's at home. They have the more play. They have more options to win the game because, like I said, they can throw better. They obviously run equally or better. Their defense, secondary is good. Their front seven, well, we got issues there. But I think with the guys who came into play last time, because they were missing players last time, I think Wyoming's going to win, but it's going to be like a 3-point game.
Good quarterbacks beat this Aztecs defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like Wyoming in this game. because I think that, you know, even if Josh Allen struggles with the efficiency, kind of like he's done all throughout, you know, conference play especially, like he's only completing, I think, like 56% of his passes in conference play. But that hasn't stopped him from being, like, deadly, you know, explosive, which I think is kind of the big factor in the first go-around. And I really don't see any reason why that won't be the case again, because the Aztecs' pass defense especially has really struggled in the last month. Like, if you look at what they've done in... I'm trying to look it up. What they've done in, like, November especially, real quick.
They've been winning. That's what they've been doing for the most part.
Like they have nine touchdowns and eight interceptions, which is kind of a far cry from what they did in October, especially when they were really feasting against the rest of the West Division, especially.
Like, you mean the worst division?
Teams have challenged them more with the pass in November, and they've been successful more often than not. And to me, I think that's where Josh Allen can really rise to the occasion and take control of this game. Between him and Brian Hill, I think that they should have more than enough to win this game pretty comfortably. I think I would definitely take Wyoming plus the points. I'd take them to win
they just need to win because they're a 7-point dog,
but I'd take them to win by about 10.
Whoa, all right then. But you're right, yeah, looking at those November stats, they're giving up 235 yards per game.
Yeah.
Whew. I think the running game will be better for Aztecs this time with Wyoming down a couple guys, but like I said, passing game, better passing game, and they can, because if Brian Hill is shut down even a little bit, he'll still get 75 yards regardless if he has a bad game. That's like a bad game for him. But like I said, they can pass, like I said, good quarterbacks beat these teams. Or lead good teams to victory, and Aztecs are susceptible, as you mentioned in the last month. And two of those teams that played had winning records, and as of the losses. I just think if he'll get shut down, Wyoming's not dead. But if Pumphrey or Penny or whoever, Washington, get shut down, Aztecs need, like they did last time, special team scores to get a victory. So I agree. Yeah, they're going to win. Wyoming's going to win.
If you had to bet on San Diego State going 99 yards again for a game time score,
I wouldn't. I did it last time. I would do it again. No, no.
That's kind of my point too. I think that Josh Allen is as good as Chapman has been. I trust Josh Allen a little bit more to make plays throughout the game.
And they have better receivers in Wyoming.
That too.
All right. So is that our prediction? You pick Wyoming to win by a touchdown at least. I pick a field goal victory. Wyoming by 10. Let's give exact scores. That's more fun. This is the last game, and I'll actually write these down somewhere really quick so I don't lose them. So what's your score 30, prediction then? 31-21. Okay, 31-21. I'm going to go 24-21. And not any sense of a game when you drive, but I think it's going to be 24-21 Wyoming.
All right then.
All right, that's the show for tonight. Mountain West Championship Show. Check us out. SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, Pocket Cast. Wherever you put that. If you use the RSS feed to make your own pocket or podcast feed, excellent. Leave us a review. Listen to the show. And Championship Week is here. And we will do a show after the game, as always. We'll recap in this stuff. And, MWCConnection.com. And we'll see you guys next time. And, as always, hey, we're